Indeed.com. According to an independent study, Indeed delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site, more hires than the rest combined. And right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job, boosting your listing and relevant search results. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Hi, this is John Taffer from Bar Rescue. I've seen firsthand what restaurant owners can do with the capital to manage cash flow gaps. Cabbage is so important. Cabbage provides lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and you'll get a decision right away. Withdraw funds without reapplying. I signed up and had a decision in minutes. Cabbage has helped over 100,000 small businesses from every industry. Get started at cabbage.com/owner or 855-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
It's me, the little voice in your stomach. And as you can tell by my musical selection, I have impeccable taste. So I won't settle for anything but the most tasty snack. All natural Oberto beef jerky. It's lean beef, slow cooked, and seasoned to perfection. All natural and all delicious. So listen to the little voice in your stomach. Indulge my great taste and feed me some all natural Oberto beef jerky. Oberto beef jerky. You get out what you put in.
Refers to Oberto's all natural line of beef jerkies. Minimally processed, no artificial ingredients.
At Lowe's, we know that pros depend on their tools to do more than just cut, drill, and sand. Tools help pros meet deadlines, keep promises, and protect reputations. Well, right now at Lowe's, pro customers can get up to 30% off select Kobalt power and hand tools. Plus, get up to 20% off select Irwin and Lennox tools and power tool accessories. Hurry into Lowe's and save on the tools and accessories you count on most. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. Ends July 30th, U.S. only.
Who will drive Dale Jr.'s 88 Nationwide Chevrolet next season? That question has been answered. I'm Tyler Burnett, and that story's next on NASCAR Today, Midday.
It's Rob Tanner, host of America's Tailgate Party, NASCAR USA. Join us every weekend as we get you set for NASCAR racing with 2 hours of the hottest hits in country music. The Motor Racing Network's Woody Kane is here with NASCAR news, and MRN pit reporter Steve Post stopped by to talk a little racing. We'll have features and highlights you can't get anywhere else, so be here each weekend for NASCAR USA on the Motor Racing Network.
Hey, race fans, visit Camping World in Concord for convenient one-stop shopping on outdoor accessories, top brand RVs, and quality service. Buy an RV and enroll in the Good Sam Elite Loyalty Program, offering incentives valued at over $2,000. Browse over 10,000 Camping World products and accessories in America's largest RV dealer network. Plus, shop the top manufacturers such as Coleman, Keystone, Newmar, Thor Motor Coach, Winnebago, and many more. America's number one RV dealer has something for everyone. Visit Camping World in Concord today.
See dealer for full offer details and disclaimers.
On their Twitter account this morning, Hendrick Motorsports announced the driver who will take over the 88 car next season following Dale Jr.'s retirement. 24-year-old Alex Bowman will drive full-time in the car starting in February of 2018 at Daytona. Bowman split time with Jeff Gordon last season in the 88 car during Jr.'s recovery, racing in 10 cup races, his best finish coming at Phoenix, where he earned the pole and finished sixth. Bowman was heavily endorsed by Dale Earnhardt Jr. over the past month since his retirement, which Alex says is a complete honor.
You know, I probably wouldn't have a job right now if it wasn't for all the help that Dale Jr. has given me. So very appreciative of his help and friendship.
For more on this story, plus a recap on Matt Crafton's Eldora win last night, visit MRN.com. I'm Tyler Burnett, and this is NASCAR Today Midday on the Motor Racing Network.
It's 6:06, the third and final hour of the Todd Bromelkamp Show, coming your way on a Thursday, July 20th. It's going to be it for me this week. I'm off tomorrow. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be sitting in with Alex, coming your way on all three frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency, just days away from packing up and heading to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days. We'll be there at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place on Monday and Tuesday. 4-hour programs that day, 3 o'clock until 7 each day. Kirk Ferentz, Hawkeye football players, a number of Big Ten guests. Always a good time. Big thanks to our friends at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City for sponsoring our trip to Chicago. And speaking of the Windy City, we've got a guest joining us on the program now. We get accused of talking about too much Chicago baseball on the program Dan, but usually it's Cubs baseball that we're talking. Dan Hayes of CSN Chicago with us to talk about the White Sox today. And what are the early returns on Yoan Moncada?
Well, I think he came up last night and basically, I mean, he didn't get the hit, but he showed everything that everybody suspected of him. He didn't get rattled at the plate. He fell behind in his first two plate appearances, 0-2. Came back, and I think the first one was a 9-pitch walk, took a couple close pitches, fouled a few back, and really looked impressive. You know, I mean, that was a pretty big outpouring of emotion for him from the fan base last night. I mean, it was wild to see somebody get in there and have fans standing along the third baseline like it was going to be the greatest at bat they'd ever seen or a clutch moment in the game. And, you know, he responded to it, and his third plate appearance, he got ahead 2-0, and he got his pitch, and he smoked it, just happened to find a glove. But, I mean, you saw the smooth, easy, kind of fluid swing there from him. And I think when you think about him, it's a power-speed combo, and I think there's a lot to be excited about. He was very happy with the way he was able to kind of execute his approach despite the emotions. He said it was a lot like his major league debut last year, and I think that he wasn't too overwhelmed and is looking forward to this weekend in Kansas City.
Is there any question as to what his long-term position in the field is going to be?
Not right now. They're going to stick with him at second base. They really like the gains that he made. He really did a good job, apparently, improving his footwork and cutting down angles to the base, getting more on his throws. And I was only in Charlotte for a day earlier this season, but I saw him turn a couple spectacular double plays. And you can see why the potential is there, and that's a position that's hard to fill with premium offensive talent. And obviously, there's not a ton of guys out there that are good defenders and good hitters, and they'd love for him to be able to stick there.
Now, you did a White Sox minor league tour throughout the season. What were a couple of the notable appearances that you saw, and what impressed you the most?
Well, it's funny. I mean, at this point, you can now some of the guys that I saw have been surpassed because of all these trades they've made. I mean, it's been a crazy 8 months of adding players continually. But I liked Zach Collins' defense at Single-A Winston-Salem. He was really impressive. He came in as a guy that people thought was going to be a hitter first, and his average is down a little bit, but he's still got good on base and power combo, and now he's improved on the defensive side to where he's thrown out 40% of the base runners. I also got to catch up with the Kannapolis team and Micker Adolfo, who was a kid they signed 4 years ago for a then franchise record $1.3 million. And he's finally grown up as far as he's filled out his frame. And, you know, they got him as a 16-year-old and he hadn't been able to stay on the field. He's having a pretty good year. And you look around and there's a lot of guys like that. Moncada obviously was kind of one of the highlight guys. I missed Michael Kopech by a day, but he's been outstanding all year. And the thing is when you look at that minor league system now, you're talking 15 to 20 guys deep that have a real legitimate shot at making the major leagues. And probably quite a few of them very soon. I think Moncada is first. It wouldn't surprise me if Ronaldo Lopez, who I saw in Charlotte and looked good that day, if he comes next. But the list keeps going on. And obviously they added Eloy Jimenez last week in the Cubs trade for Jose Quintana. Blake Rutherford just was added this week in the deal with the Yankees. So they have 9 or 10 guys in the top 68 on the MLB pipeline. I mean, it's hard to keep track because there are so many good talents in this system now.
Did it catch you off guard a little bit that Hahn and Epstein were able to get together and pull this deal off? Because I know it was a huge, huge topic of discussion in Chicago. The White Sox and the Cubs don't normally act as trade partners with one another.
Right. It had been 8 years or actually 10 years since their last deal. In a sense, it catches you off guard because that's what all the talk is, that they'll never do it. And yet, when you think about it, these guys are guys that kind of operate where if they see the best deal for their team, they go for it. And I think that what it took was the White Sox being willing trade partners. And I mean, it was a clear fit. The Cubs need pitching. The White Sox need prospects. And they got one of the best, the very best in the game, in Eloy Jimenez. And it made a lot of sense. And, you know, both sides are going to benefit from this. I don't think either side can say right now, man, we won that trade. I think both sides look at it and go, we really helped our ball club. And that's a good thing because that encourages more dealing in the future when the teams match up.
Does seeing what Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer were able to do over the last couple years on the North side make it easier for White Sox fans to swallow trading big league players for guys like Blake Rutherford earlier this week?
I think that they were on board beforehand. I mean, of course, when you see the Cubs do it and execute it, it makes it more acceptable because everybody's kind of gone through it. The majority of people in Chicago are Cubs fans, and they've gone through it, and so that template is there. But I think White Sox fans were just tired of kind of being in the middle and not winning and not making the playoffs repeatedly. I mean, everybody loves that World Series title in 2005. They've been back to the playoffs one time since. They've never in their franchise's history been in the playoffs 2 years in a row. And I think that knowing that and feeling frustrated by it puts you in a spot where we need to take advantage. I mean, the White Sox, if you look at their 1 through 8, 1 through 10 on their roster last year, that group competes with any team in baseball. I mean, with Chris Sale and Jose Quintana and Adam Eaton and Jose Abreu, a really steady group. And then yet after that, the depth came in, and it was an issue, and it continually was an issue for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And so they kind of decided, hey, we need to do this, and fans were on board. I mean, you see a Chris Sale trade happen in December, and then you see an Adam Eaton trade. And I run polls with each one just to see how fans are reacting. And it's never been below 90% approval of what the White Sox have done. So it's pretty incredible to see that out there. And I think the White Sox are kind of reveling in it and enjoying where they are for the moment, because all they're doing is building, and they're doing a pretty good job of it.
There was a point before the All-Star break where Rick Renteria was ejected 3 out of 6 games, and it looked like frustration was kind of setting in for him, just as the realization was that the season was kind of heading in the direction that everybody thought it was going to. My question for you is, with as fierce of a competitor as he is and as hard-nosed as Rick Renteria is, how is he handling the fact that this team is playing not for 2017 but for years to come?
Well, I think he knows what the job was coming in, and they told him it could go this direction, and they made that decision pretty quickly after hiring him. About a month later, they said they were going to go this way. And then 2 months after they hired him, they made those first two trades. So he's known what it is. And given his background in teaching and developing, he was on board with it. And I think the idea that the Moncadas are coming and Ronaldo Lopez should be here soon and guys like that, I think that's the kind of thing that'll get him fired up, because at heart, he's always been a developer and likes working with young players and teaching them about the daily rigors of getting through a season. And so I think he kind of relishes it. I mean, of course it's going to be rough. I mean, they're going to be a 95 loss team, maybe even 100 losses. We'll see if they can get to that point, but it's going to be a rough run these last 70 games, and he knows it. And he's going to have to focus on individual development and trying to do that, because it's going to be hard to win with the pieces they have in place in some spots. They just traded away 2/3 of their back end of their bullpen, and 2 other key guys are out for the season. I mean, there's nobody. Tyler Clifford is right now the closer, and he had a 4.95 ERA in New York. So they know there's tough times ahead, and I think he understands that.
Are there more moves to be made with the current roster at this point, or is it pretty much what is there is what they're moving forward with?
I could see still a move or two. I don't know if they'll trade Avisaíl García. He's only 26. He just turned 26 earlier this month. They could extend him and keep him around because he's young enough where potentially in 2 years he's part of this huge core, and who knows if they want to start over and build again because, hey, it took this long to get him to this point, and he's here, and they're happy about that. But he's one of those guys that potentially could bring in a lot more, and if they got a lot more, it wouldn't make me – I wouldn't be surprised if they did it. I don't suspect that they will, but at the same time, nothing surprises me at this point. And there are a few free agents on the roster, a few free agents to be. Melky Cabrera, Anthony Swarzak. Swarzak's having a really nice season out of the bullpen. He certainly could help someone as a rental. Derek Holland and Miguel Gonzalez could be back-end starters for some team in contention that's kind of on the fringe and not looking to pay a lot. And I think so. It wouldn't surprise me at all if there's some more moves. I don't think any will have the magnitude unless the García kind of deal would happen. And again, I don't know that that will.
Dan, you know how rumors go, and there were rumors earlier in the season about Jose Abreu. Are those rumors at this point dead?
Well, you know, with Moncada here and their bond between the two of them, they played together in Cienfuegos in Cuba in 2012, and I think that he is a mentor. I think they would love for Moncada to see the work ethic that Abreu puts into every day at the Major League level, because, look, this was the guy in Cuba. This was the superstar when Moncada came up. He knew exactly who he is, and he feels fortunate to have had Abreu take him under his wing. And to see how Abreu works to get the success he gets in the majors despite his talent, I think that's a great example for a lot of the young guys. And you need some of that around. And so I think Abreu sticks. I mean, Luis Robert, when they signed him in May, part of the pitch was, hey, Moncada and Abreu are here. I think that does matter. And they've got him 2 years. And it's not like his contract's easy to move as it is. There's not a ton of value out there for a guy making as much money as him, and he's not a very good defender at first base. He's a great hitter, but you're going to get him to be a DH, basically. And I think a lot of teams figure they can cover their bases on that for cheaper than $10 million a year.
I think you already let slip the answer to this next question, but who do you think is the next player up from the minor leagues that White Sox fans may see this year? I think you already mentioned Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah, Ronaldo Lopez could have been up at the start of the season. He's that polished. He already had 44 days in the majors last year with the Nationals. And mostly, he pitched a lot in relief last year and made a few starts, but he understands addition and subtraction on his fastball. He's using his changeup, hitting corners, everything about pitching. I mean, you would think he spent a year with Don Cooper, the White Sox pitching coach, talking, because they sound like they have done that, basically. And that's just what he knows. And he's a young kid. He throws 95, 96. His stuff is definitely electric, and he's ready. I mean, he's been a guy, I think part of the reason why Moncada took a little while was because of they didn't want to have him become a Super 2 arbitration player where he hits arbitration after two seasons, especially because the chances are he's going to be a guy they have under team control for 7 years. So yesterday was sort of that marker when the Super 2 was hitting or it's just passed. So when you look at him, he had 31 days last year, and Lopez had 44. So it wouldn't surprise me if within a week or two we see Lopez once he's passed his Super 2 marker, because they need pitching at this point, and he's not going to gain much more from being in AAA Charlotte. So I think coming up and taking his development to the next level is kind of the important thing.
Dan, I was chatting with one of my good friends yesterday who's a big White Sox fan. He was talking about Tim Anderson and his up-and-down season so far. Offensively, it's been up and down. He said also defensively, it's been a little bit of a concern. How would you assess Tim Anderson's 2017 season up to this point?
Well, you know, sophomore slumps happen, and he's definitely enduring one. And to compound that, you know, he got the contract extension in spring training, and it's 6 years and $25 million, and can be up to $8 and $49 million or $8 and $50.5 million. But beyond that, his best friend was shot and killed May 7th, I believe it was. And that was somebody that he leaned on and was his closest friend. And he talked to his stuff about on the field, off the field, just life in general. I think it's definitely affected him a little bit. I mean, I think the combo of everything is there, because there's a lot of pressure on him without question. I mean, he has this deal. And you know, you've seen it at times. He's just looked a little off kilter. He's never really gotten going one way or the other, both sides of the ball. I think his 21 errors leads the league. Offensively, he hasn't been the same guy he was last year. It's all kind of compounding right now, and it's been a tough year. But at the same time, I think the White Sox know that he was up early. I mean, if they had had their choice, I don't think he would have been in the majors until the very end of last year. But they were kind of in a spot where they were hoping to salvage the season after that great start turned into a dumpster fire, basically, and they needed him to come up and produce, and he did a really good job. But it just hasn't been the same. But they know that development is needed, and I think that they know they're in the perfect spot for that, because there's not a lot of expectations on the team, and he can kind of find his way and kind of right the ship.
Cubs, White Sox coming up on Monday. Were you relieved to see that the Cubs shuffled their rotation around and Jose Quintana won't have to face the White Sox, or would you kind of like to have seen that matchup of Quintana against his former teammates?
I mean, I'm happy for him, because honestly, Jose Quintana is one of the players I've most enjoyed covering, and having talked to Paul Konerko about facing Mark Burley and talk to guys about facing Chris Sale, you know, the next year, it's a very strange situation. I mean, there's no way about it. It's awkward all around, and it would be a tough spot. But at the same time, the sports writer in me wants to see it 100%. So I'm conflicted on it. Like, personally, I wanted to see it, but at the same time, I'm kind of glad for him. He doesn't have to. It's too bad, but at the same time, you know, you've got to do what's best for your ball club to win games, and obviously the Cubs know what they're doing there.
Dan Hayes, CSN Chicago. We appreciate the time, Dan. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And that goes, again, everything that I've ever said about White Sox fans. I love the fact that they understand the game, have an appreciation and a passion for it, and they're on board. They know what Rick Hahn is doing. There's complete and total buy-in. And I do think that having seen what the Cubs were able to do in a similar rebuild has allowed White Sox fans to come to grips with the fact that, okay, it worked for the Cubs, and we've got, I think, an even better collection of prospects than the Cubs have. And let's see where this team is, not in 2017, but in 2019, 2020. And remember, the Cubs arrived a year ahead of schedule. Look at the American League Central. There's nothing to say that the White Sox can't be very competitive within the next year. This year is a lost cause, but you never know how quickly a team can hit the accelerator.
I think Avi Garcia is one of the X factors to that. If he can continue playing at the level that he is and be a part of this core that's about ready to come up with Yoan Moncada and possibly Luis Robert and some of these other prospects, then that team looks good. And you're seeing, like you just talked about with the Cubs and now the Yankees, even though they're in a little bit of a skid, and the Milwaukee Brewers, these rebuilding teams are arriving a little bit ahead of schedule because some of these players are developing a little bit quicker than anticipated. So I think the Chicago White Sox, I don't know. It's very difficult with prospects, especially ones that we don't see, to draw conclusions. But like I said last Friday, the numbers are there. Some of these guys are going to pan out. Some of these guys won't pan out, but some of them will. And based on the amount of talent that they have stockpiled, it could be enough to make them legitimate contenders sooner rather than later in the AL Central.
We appear to be on the verge of a little bit more of breaking news. This from the world of baseball, but several people are reporting, including Rhett Bollinger, who is a beat writer who covers the Minnesota Twins, that the Twins are on the verge of acquiring former Cardinals left-hander Jaime Garcia from the Atlanta Braves. The deal reportedly right now would be for a minor league player that has not yet been identified because the deal hasn't been consummated. But the Twins, searching for more starting pitching, appear to be close to bringing Jaime Garcia on board from the Atlanta Braves.
I meant to ask you this, and kind of sticking with the Atlanta Braves, what happens with Matt Adams now? In case you missed it, we brought up Freddie Freeman. He's back from the DL. They have their first baseman. They have a guy who only plays first base sitting behind him, who put up career numbers after he left the St. Louis Cardinals this year. Somebody's going to want to bring him in, right?
I would think so. And again, that goes back to the discussion of how much of what was going on in St. Louis goes back to the coaching staff. And he was a mess. And he goes to the Braves, and all of a sudden, he looked like the old Matt Adams again. And they basically gave him away. And I know Cardinals fans aren't necessarily happy about that move in hindsight, but I would certainly give him a chance. At a bare minimum, as a guy that you bring in and play in a platoon situation or something. But I've always liked the bat. I've always thought he was a decent player. Now, he's never going to win a gold glove or anything. But, yeah, Freddie Freeman over Matt Adams any day of the week. But you're probably not biting the bullet with Adams in the outfield unless you absolutely have to.
Even
but
if you do.
There's value there. And it appears the Braves are making some moves, some minor moves, to again position themselves for the future. They just moved into SunTrust Ballpark this year, and had a mix of veterans. R.A. Dickey, Bartolo Colon started the year with him. And then young guys like Dansby Swanson, who has struggled greatly this year. They're talking about sending him to the minor leagues. Sean Newcomb, who pitched the other day for the Braves that they got from the Angels in the Andrelton Simmons deal. So Jaime Garcia, less than a full season in Atlanta. The question is, what former Cedar Rapids Colonel, or current, could be a current player, is getting traded? Because odds are that player will have passed through Cedar Rapids if it is a minor leaguer in the Twins organization. So we'll see if by 7 o'clock we know who's on the move to the Braves, but it looks like the Twins may have Jaime Garcia added to their starting rotation. It's 6:27. We'll step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have another big board update for you. And then the countdown to kickoff continues as we head to Maryland. Talk with Jeff Ehrman of 24/7 Sports. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way after this.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Here's Pete, Tony, and the 2 for $4 croissant sandwich deal.
The other day, Pete and I go to Burger King for my croissant sandwich. You know, they're just 2 for $4.
Oh, it's my favorite. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so I got 2 croissant sandwich, and I get one of this guy.
I'm like, who are you?
I'm the guy that just paid for your breakfast.
That's my favorite guy.
You guys, the croissant sandwich deal is 2 for $4. Now made with 100% butter for a soft and flaky croissant. Get 2 croissant sandwich sandwiches now for $4 only at Burger King. Price and participation vary.
Here's the scoop on garden soil. Sometimes it needs help from the Home Depot, where bags of Miracle-Gro garden soil are a special buy, 3 for just $10. It improves existing soil with nutrients plants need for stronger roots, so they'll hit the ground running, starting with much better ground. Miracle-Gro garden soil, 3 bags, $10. Now at the number one retailer for Scotts Miracle-Gro, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last. Contiguous U.S. only. Limit 80 per customer.
Napa Know-How.
The Napa Legend Battery does legendary things, like starting your car when the heat index hits a buck 25, or making sure your AC stays running like a gazelle. And now, when you buy a Napa Legend Battery, you'll get a prepaid Visa card by mail worth $15. $15 back and a new battery? That's not just legendary. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 7/31/17.
It's me, the little voice in your stomach. And as you can tell by my musical selection, I have impeccable taste. So I won't settle for anything but the most tasty snack. All natural Oberto beef jerky. It's lean beef, slow cooked, and seasoned to perfection. All natural and all delicious. So listen to the little voice in your stomach. Indulge my great taste and feed me some all natural Oberto beef jerky. Oberto beef jerky. You get out what you put in.
Refers to Oberto's all natural line of beef jerky. Minimally processed, no artificial ingredients.
Flat Screen Thursdays are even bigger in 2017. Every Thursday home game, fans can get a free raffle ticket for a chance to win one of 3 40-inch flat screen TVs sponsored by First Federal Credit Union. Fans can also enjoy our Thirsty Thursday specials of $2 12-ounce regular draft beers and 20-ounce bottled soda and water every Thursday. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
It's only 49 days until the NFL kicks off the 2017 season. Don't miss a minute of the action. Get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network now. Every game, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network is available on Mediacom. Call 855-MEDIACOM to order now.
It's 6:30 on the dot. Welcome back. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, producer Kyle Mann. Coming your way on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, our historic main gym. Coming up tomorrow, it's a KGYM road trip driven by Lender Tire. It'll be at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. That's all normal. The lineup isn't exactly normal because I'll be on vacation tomorrow, but it'll be Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in as a special guest host. Along with Alex, Kyle's going to continue filling in for Scott Unash on the gym class. Those guys will be behind here in Cedar Rapids. Kyle's going to still pull double duty tomorrow because just like he's about to do right now, he's going to have another Midwest One Bank big board update for you.
University of Iowa running back Akram Wadley was announced among the Doak Walker Award watch listers this morning, an award which goes to the nation's top running back. Wadley led Iowa with nearly 1,400 yards of offense and 13 touchdowns last season, and was also named to the Maxwell Award watch list last week. As of today, Gary Barta is Iowa's former athletic director. That's right. After a $5 million endowment gift from Henry and Patricia Tippy, Barta's position is officially known as the Henry B. and Patricia B. Tippy Director of Athletics Chair. The money will be used to address top departmental priorities and will certainly help to offset some of the $6.5 million paid in the Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum settlements. The Iowa State basketball program landed a potential impact player today in grad transfer Zoran Talley Jr. from Old Dominion. Talley is a 6'7" forward who averaged 11 points and 3 rebounds en route to being named Conference USA Sixth Man of the Year. He'll be eligible to play right away next year. The Cedar Rapids Colonels dropped a series opener at home last night to the Great Lakes Loons 8-3, but will be back out there tonight with Tyler Beardsley on the mound, and that's getting set to start in just a few minutes. Cedar Rapids Prairie and Cedar Rapids Washington, Linmar, and Iowa City West all won their respective substates last night and are headed to the 4A state baseball tournament next week, as well as Marion in Class 3A, Regina in 2A, and North Lynn and Lisbon in 1A.
Some potential news from the world of college football. Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports, as you mentioned during the break, he does not normally get stuff wrong.
But no, he doesn't.
Pat Forty has said on Twitter that there is explosive new information, his words, that has put Ole Miss football coach Hugh Freeze's job in immediate jeopardy and that a decision could come soon.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, it's not looking good. They've already had
Hotty-totty.
They've already had SEC media days.
They have.
Those are in the rearview mirror.
You're telling me more explosive news than his players coming out and saying they were being paid on NFL draft night? Wow.
Apparently.
That must be very explosive news.
We'll stay tuned on that one. Also looking to see if anybody eventually has confirmation on that deal involving Jaime Garcia and the Atlanta Braves sending the left-hander to the Minnesota Twins, reportedly for a minor league player. Don't know yet who that minor league player is, but there's a good chance that he probably has passed through Cedar Rapids over the course of the last couple seasons, maybe even a current member of the Colonels. We'll wait and find out. It's 6:34. When we return, the penultimate stop on the countdown to kickoff takes us to Maryland and Jeff Ehrman of 24/7 Sports. He'll be with us to preview the Terrapins next.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable.
It smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam for my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Progressive presents Mindflowness with Flo.
You are on a spiritual journey towards savings. Your mind is drifting into uncharted territory as you use the Name Your Price tool to find policy options that fit your budget. Options that fit perfectly, like football pants or the unitard thingies wrestlers wear.
Experience inner peace with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Napa know-how.
Right now, Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil is on sale for just $4.29 a quart. Quality motor oil at an affordable price. A deal so good it practically sells itself. Which begs the question, what do we do with the rest of this commercial? Repeat the deal, I guess. Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $4.29 a quart. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 7/31/17.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
Back to the Todd Bromel Camp Show, right here on KGYN.
It's the countdown to kickoff, day number 12. Unlike Doug and Daddy, we only do 13 teams. Ohio State will be 13 tomorrow at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Coach's Corner, the sponsor for the countdown to kickoff today. Well, the other team that we haven't talked about yet, it's the Maryland Terrapins. And joining us from 24/7 Sports to talk about the Terps, Jeff Ehrman. Jeff, how you doing? And the better question is, what's the outlook this year for the Terrapins?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys. The outlook is, kind of, I guess, cautiously optimistic. You know, they had a better year last year than they had, obviously, the previous year under Randy Edsall. That's why Randy Edsall was gone. But the schedule's really rough this year, and they still haven't found a quarterback. So, you know, they do have a lot of momentum going, but I think there's, you know, the Vegas over-under on wins for them, I think, is 3.5 this year. So that should tell you something.
Do they think that Caleb Henderson, the North Carolina transfer, will be the guy this year?
That was kind of the assumption heading into the offseason, but, you know, that assumption is mostly based on the fact that he was a four-star recruit coming out of high school. And, you know, as you know, that doesn't always mean a lot. He didn't win the job. Obviously, losing it to Trubisky, top NFL draft pick, is there's nothing to be embarrassed of there, but he wasn't going to be the starter again this upcoming season. So long story short, no, I wouldn't assume he's the starter. He's definitely going to have a chance at it, but, you know, there's a lot of talk right now that Tyrell Pegrome, who was a true freshman who played last year, has looked the best so far. The question about him is he going to be able to pass? He's an electric runner, but he's only about 5'10", 5'11", and last year he looked pretty shaky in the pocket. So, and they have Kasim Hill, a really highly regarded freshman coming in, but, you know, it's not often that you see a true freshman quarterback get the nod. So there's a lot of questions there. I don't think anybody really knows who the quarterback is going to be.
Last year, Maryland averaged just under 200 yards rushing a game. Is the ground attack going to be a big part of the offense again this year?
Oh, yeah, that's easily the highlight of the entire team, not even just the offense. They've got Ty Johnson coming back, who ran for 1,000 yards, averaging over 9 yards a carry last year. He's got the highest yard per carry average in the country of anyone returning this year. And then they've got a kid, Lorenzo Harrison, who might even be better than him, who was really good as a freshman last year before he got sidelined by some off-the-field issues, but he's back now. So between those two, you know, they should have one of the better rushing attacks in the Big Ten and probably the best rushing attack that Maryland's had in years.
Those two, their statistics jump off the page. So Ty Johnson, Lolo Harrison, what makes them able to complement each other so well?
Yeah, so Ty Johnson's a taller guy. He wasn't very big. He's put on a lot of muscle, so it'll be interesting to see if he's kept his speed because he's got blazing speed. He doesn't have a ton of wiggle to his game, but once he gets into the open field, he's gone. He had a ton of long runs last year. Harrison is more of a Barry Sanders-style runner, can cut on a dime, really electric runner. Maybe not quite as fast in the straightaway, but also, you know, very fast himself. So they're two different kind of guys, but both of them are home run threats. That's why, you know, if you can have a quarterback who can even keep the defenses semi-honest, then you could have both of those guys, you know, piling up tons of yards.
What should we expect from a receiving corps that returns its leader in DJ Moore?
I really like DJ Moore. I think he's the best non-Stephon Diggs receiver talent-wise they've had in a while. Problem with him has been they haven't had somebody to get him the ball. You know, he's fast, he's explosive, he's a good route runner, he's got some good size to him. So I think he's a potential star if they can get him the ball. You know, the rest of the receiving core, there's a lot of question marks. They lost Laverne Jacobs, who is one of their steadiest receivers for the past several years. So, you know, they've got some talent. They got a kid by the name of Jaquiel Vai, who's an interesting story. He played at Maryland his first 2 years, transferred to Towson down a level, and then decided to come back to Maryland for his senior year, sat out last year. I think he could be a pretty good addition, but, you know, there's not a lot of Tavon Jacobs, another kid who's really fast, maybe the fastest player on the team or right up there with Ty Johnson. You know, he's a senior now, still hasn't quite lived up to the recruiting billing, mostly because of injuries. So they've got some good talent and a lot of speed there, but they don't have a lot of proven commodities.
Defensively, what will things look like for Maryland this season?
Well, the defensive backfield, I think, will be better than it was, even despite losing Will Likely They were lucky to get back Denzel Conyers with a medical red shirt. He's a safety and was probably, in my opinion, their best defensive back last year, even including Will Likely. You know, he's a guy, DJ Durkin really likes defensive backs who can come up and run support and coverage. He's a guy who does both those things well. And then they have a lot of defensive backs who played last year, several who played as true freshmen, Tino Ellis being one of them, and then they also had transfer from Florida, J.C. Jackson. So there's a lot of talent in the defensive backfield. Defensive line, still a question mark. That's the one spot where they haven't recruited quite as well in recent years. They do have Jesse Anabonum, who's a really good pass rusher, should be one of the best pass rushers in the Big Ten. And linebackers, that was a big issue last year. They're looking for Jermaine Carter Jr., their top linebacker, to rebound from kind of a down year. But they gave up a ton of yards. The past few years, they've given up a lot of yards, and the defense has been a big issue. So that's an area where they really need to improve. I think they will, but, you know, to what extent, we'll see.
You talk about the defense down the stretch. It really struggled, and we know DJ Durkin is a defensive guy going back to his days at Michigan. He made a couple of staff shakeups this offseason. Other than that, where does that improvement defensively need to come from?
Well, the defensive line the past few years has simply not been very good, especially up the middle. Carter was the guy who got some all Big Ten talk before the season last year, really didn't live up to it. And then their other starting linebacker was Shane Cockerill, who was a converted quarterback. So that just goes to show you where they were at linebacker. They've brought in more talent, but still a lot of it's young. You know, they flushed a lot of guys that were recruited by Randy Edsall, who realistically probably weren't good enough to be playing in the Big Ten. And so when you have a lot of guys like that who are gone, who transfer or decommit, you know, kind of in a mutual decision, then you end up playing a lot of young guys. So there'll still be a lot of young guys and unproven guys there. And, you know, the Big Ten is no joke, especially in the trenches and stopping the run. So the talent is clearly up, but they're still not very experienced on defense.
Jeff, give us the name of a newcomer to keep an eye on this fall.
Kasim Hill, like I mentioned, could be the biggest one, just considering that, you know, the quarterback job is wide open. And you know, we had Walt Bell on our radio show heading into the off season, and the way he was talking about it almost made him sound like he expected him to be the starter or had a great shot of being the starter. So, you know, I don't know if he will or not, but he's definitely one to keep an eye on. Anthony McFarland is the highest rated player in their whole recruiting class. He just happens to be a running back, where you already have two really good players, but he's a speedster who's pretty much all but committed to Miami, changed his mind at the last second, so he'll play and he'll be another dynamic guy. And then Marquise Bell is a kid from New Jersey, four-star recruit who's going to play safety for them, and he should get a long look too. So, you know, and then again, a defensive tackle spot, like I mentioned, they don't have a lot of depth there. So two twin brothers they brought in, Brayon and Brandon Gaddy from Virginia, could both play. There's some big boys, especially Brayon, who's about 6'5", 340. So, you know, they played a lot of true freshmen last year just because of those talent issues I mentioned, and I think that they'll probably do it again, you know, if to a little bit lesser extent this season.
You brought up the schedule, Texas and UCF in the non-conference, crossover games against Minnesota, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. What is a reasonable expectation for this team this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's tough. You're going into this year young with no quarterback. You do have some really bright spots, especially in the backfield. But with that schedule, which some people have rated as the hardest in the country, I think the fans are realistic about it. If they were to win four or five games, I think most people would be pleased with that. If they won more than five, people would be thrilled. Any less than that, you know, I don't think they'd be questioning Durkin yet because everybody understands what he inherited, but that'd probably be a disappointment. So, you know, anywhere in that 4-6 range is, I think, where most people expect them to end up.
Jeff, we appreciate you taking the time to join us on a Thursday to preview the Maryland Terrapins. Thanks very much.
Most definitely. Thanks for having me.
It's Jeff Ehrman of 247sports.com, covers the Maryland Terrapins. And that's it, folks, with the exception.
That's it for you.
Of the team that everybody thinks is going to win the Big Ten this year. And that's Ohio State. Urban Meyer's Buckeyes come into focus tomorrow. You guys will be talking with a representative from the Land of Ten,
Jeremy Birmingham,
about the Buckeyes.
Of the Land of Ten. So we'll talk about Kevin Wilson and his new offense in Columbus.
Still no word on Hugh Freeze and what may possibly be leading to his immediate removal as Ole Miss's head football coach.
Uh-oh.
Have we seen something?
Oh, we've seen something. I'll let you handle this one. This comes from the Ole Miss Athletic account on Twitter.
He's out. He's resigned. Effective immediately. So not fired.
Wow.
Resigned. And Matt Luke will be the interim head coach. Press conference live at 7:30 Central Time on ESPN News. So we'll get an answer either in the next 50 minutes or sometime before that. Dan Wolkin and Pat Forty, the rest of the staff at Yahoo Sports, have been all over this. They were the first to report that Hugh Freeze could possibly be out of a job sooner rather than later. Not optimal timing if you're Ole Miss.
Wow.
Just a couple months away from going into the 2017 season. That's the big football news today. Minor baseball news. The Minnesota Twins, trying to improve their starting rotation, have reportedly agreed to a trade with the Atlanta Braves for left-hander Jaime Garcia, the former Cardinals starter, for a minor league player. No name yet on who that minor league player is. If we find out before 7 o'clock, we'll let you know. It's 6:48. Time to take a break. We come back, we'll have another big board update for you and set the table for a Friday edition of the I Don't Care What You Call It While I'm Not Here show. Back with more after this.
At Lowe's, we know that pros depend on their tools to do more than just cut, drill, and sand. Tools help pros meet deadlines, keep promises, and protect reputations. Well, right now at Lowe's, pro customers can get up to 30% off select Kobalt power and hand tools. Plus, get up to 20% off select Irwin and Lennox tools and power tool accessories. Hurry into Lowe's and save on the tools and accessories you count on most. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. Ends July 30th, U.S. only.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, that the good times roll.
Celebrate the Cedar Rapids Fire and Police Departments for Guns and Hoses Night this Thursday at the Colonels. Bid on special fire and police themed game worn jerseys sponsored by Firehouse Subs and Big Dog Satellite. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Here's Pete, Tony, and the 2 for $4 croissant sandwich deal.
The other day, Pete and I go to Burger King for my croissant sandwich. You know, they're just 2 for $4.
Oh, it's my favorite. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so I got 2 croissant sandwich, and I give one to this guy.
I'm like, who are you?
I'm the guy that just paid for your breakfast.
That's my favorite guy.
You guys, the croissant sandwich deal is 2 for $4. Now made with 100% butter for a soft and flaky croissant. Get 2 croissant sandwiches now for $4 only at Burger King. Price and participation vary.
Here's the scoop on garden soil. Sometimes it needs help from the Home Depot, where bags of Miracle-Gro garden soil are a special buy, 3 for just $10. It improves existing soil with nutrients plants need for stronger roots, so they'll hit the ground running, starting with much better ground. Miracle-Gro garden soil, 3 bags, $10. Now at the number one retailer for Scotts Miracle-Gro, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last. Contiguous U.S. only. Limit 80 per customer.
Napa Know-How.
The Napa Legend Battery does legendary things, like starting your car when the heat index hits a buck 25, or making sure your AC stays running like a gazelle. And now, when you buy a Napa Legend Battery, you'll get a prepaid Visa card by mail worth $15. $15 back and a new battery? That's not just legendary. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 7/31/17.
It's me, the little voice in your stomach. And as you can tell by my musical selection, I have impeccable taste. So I won't settle for anything but the most tasty snack. All natural Oberto beef jerky. It's lean beef, slow cooked, and seasoned to perfection. All natural and all delicious. So listen to the little voice in your stomach. Indulge my great taste and feed me some all natural Oberto beef jerky.
Oberto beef jerky. You get out what you put in.
Refers to Oberto's all natural line of beef jerky. Minimally processed, no artificial ingredients.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. and we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Welcome back in the final couple minutes of a Thursday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show here on KGYM, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, and the Main Gym, 1600 AM, heard all across eastern Iowa. Todd Brommelkamp alongside Alex Kuhn, producer Kyle Mann in the studio with us as well, minutes away from bringing you another big board update. Hugh Freeze out as head coach at Ole Miss. That's the breaking news in the world of sports today. Not much known at this point. He has resigned, so it's not a position where he was fired, but ultimately, remember, Kevin Wilson resigned at Indiana. They were going to fire him, but they gave him the ability to say that he resigned. There is a report from, I believe, USA Today that Hugh Freeze reportedly called a phone number tied to an escort service. The phone call lasted about a minute. They don't know whether this is a misdial or whether it's something nefarious, but you may know or may not, but Ole Miss is under scrutiny with the NCAA right now. Hugh Freeze reportedly has planted a number of stories with members of the media, quote-unquote sources, trying to basically place most of the blame for the NCAA issues that Ole Miss is facing at the feet of Houston Nutt, his predecessor. However, 9 of the 13 issues cited in this NCAA report happened on Hugh Freeze's watch. So he can try to change the narrative all he wants. He was going to likely have to pay the piper in the end. He winds up stepping down. They've got an interim coach, and coming up in about 35 minutes, they're going to have a news conference where they discuss all of this.
As much as I am not a fan of that university, and I make no bones about that, this is just going to make everybody more cynical. Because let's think back to when Hugh Freeze took over Ole Miss. It was a program that was down. It was a program that wasn't winning games, yet right away, Hugh Freeze was one of the top recruiters in college football. He brought in guys like Laramie Tunsil. He brought in guys like Laquan Treadwell and really rebranded that program, made it a destination for recruits, and he did it without winning games. And at the time, there was a lot of scrutiny wondering how in the world he was doing that. And, well, it turns out all of that scrutiny was warranted, and it's just going to make the downfall of his career at Ole Miss is just going to make everybody that much more cynical when a team comes out of nowhere and is pulling in recruits. So the moral of the story is, if it looks too good to be true, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is.
And every other coach in the SEC is probably biting their lip and tongue right now, not saying a word, because they know what goes around comes around. But you can cheat. You just can't cheat to the point where it ultimately gets you in trouble. At least that's the message the NCAA seems to have sent in the past. Let's hit a final Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then we will get you ready for Friday's edition of the show. Kyle?
University of Iowa running back Akram Wadley was announced among the Doak Walker Award watch listers this morning, an award which goes to the nation's top running back. Wadley led Iowa with nearly 1,400 yards of offense and 13 touchdowns last season, and was also named to the Maxwell Award watch list last week. As of today, Gary Barta is Iowa's former athletic director. That's right. After a $5 million endowment gift from Henry and Patricia Tippy, Barta's position is officially now known as the Henry B. and Patricia B. Tippy Director of Athletics Chair. The money will be used to address top departmental priorities and will certainly help to offset some of the $6.5 million paid in the Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum settlements. The Iowa State basketball program landed a potential impact player today in grad transfer Zoran Talley Jr. from Old Dominion. Talley's a 6'7" forward who averaged 11 points and 3 rebounds en route to being named Conference USA Sixth Man of the Year. He'll be eligible to play right away. The Cedar Rapids Colonels dropped a series opener at home last night to the Great Lakes Loons, 8-3, but they're back out there tonight with Tyler Beardsley on the mound. They are scoreless headed to the top of the second right now. Cedar Rapids, Prairie, and Cedar Rapids, Washington, Linmar, and Iowa City West all won their respective sub-states last night and are headed to the 4A state baseball tournament next week. They will join Marion in the Class 3A tournament, Regina in the 2A, and North Lynn and Lisbon in the 1A tournament.
All right, here's what we got coming up for you tomorrow at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. And I say we, it's Alex. He's going to be sitting in with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. I've got the day off, created a little three-day weekend for myself. The next time I see you guys, we're going to be reconvening at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place in Chicago and headed north to Wrigley Field for the Cubs and Cardinals. Countdown to kickoff tomorrow at Coach's Corner. It's Ohio State. Jack Dom will be with Rob and Alex to talk a little baseball. They'll do Love It or Leave It, everything that you've come to expect on a Friday edition of the Todd Brummelkamp Show, even though Todd Brummelkamp will not be there. Vote in the KGYM poll question tonight. I will talk to you Monday in Chicago. These guys will have you tomorrow.
Cedar Rapids Colonels at the good times roll.
Celebrate the Cedar Rapids Fire and Police Departments for Guns and Hoses Night this Thursday at the Colonels. Bid on special